Hi, everybody. Welcome to Road to War, episode 37. I'm Nick.
I'm Mo.
I'm Billy.
I'm Michael.
And I'm Mike Preer.
I'm also Michael.
Michael the second.
I had to differentiate.
That's true.
That's weird.
Winters really should have introduced himself as Chili, but whatever. All right, so today we are going to talk a little bit about the veritable deluge of WTC lists that has been released recently, and talk a little bit about some of the things that we find surprising about some of the lists, and then talk about what we think is the best set of lists from the group. So who wants to go first? Nobody? All right, I'll go first.
It's your show, Nick. I don't know.
It's hardly my show. People love Billy and Preer the most, so it's probably their show. I just do all the work for it. So for the scorn list, things that surprised me about the scorn list is, first of all, a lot of Mordekaar, which is a warcaster that I largely tend to discount as being in the lower tier of scorn warcasters, but apparently people really like. So that's the number one most surprising thing to me.
There's also a lot of fatty.
Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me as much, because fatty is good, and Chain Gang is a really good tier list. So that doesn't surprise me as much. There's probably more fatty than I would have expected, just because I don't play him. So I tend to discount him a little bit. But I do acknowledge that he is a good caster and has a place in the metagame. Whereas Mordekaar, I don't really understand what he's trying to do. He's always seemed like sort of a weak attrition caster that doesn't really do a whole lot other than bring two dudes back a turn. And maybe toss out an Essence Blast or two.
Sure.
He gets a lot of fury.
He does if Hollow stays up and if they kill that unit, but the problem is that there's quite a bit of upkeep hate out there these days, which makes it really hard to get all those souls from Hollow.
Yeah, I mean, like, how many purification casters? We were just talking about this. How many casters of purification are this? It's like, I don't think you can count on upkeep like that.
It's not that you're necessarily counting on upkeep. I mean, keep in mind that this is a play each list once event. So, and really, if you have one caster that you plan on leaning on primarily, and then there's one other, like there's a couple matchups, like you may tailor make a list regardless of what caster it is specifically for that one or two matchups that you have an issue with. And it even worsens that perspective or makes it better, I guess, depending on your perspective, because your team can hedge you away from those matchups. So they can say, all right, well, and I'm just going to throw this out here wildly inaccurate, but let's say it's Makeda 3 and Mordekaar. You're like, all right, Makeda 3, you're really good against War Machine. You're really good against X, Y, and the trolls or whatever. And we're just going to make sure that you don't have to play Circle, but if you do have to play this one caster in Signar, you have Mordekaar and you're good to go.
Yeah, and I think that's really what we're seeing when we talk Billy and Will and our group, and we don't understand why somebody did something as far as these lists. I think a lot of times it's really that they are planning on, okay, I need to have this one particular list for Lich, and then I basically drop my other list against everything else.
All right, so I have the purification count is 49 if you do not count Krios 3. And if you do, it's 55.
So it's out of 300 lists?
In the tournament?
Yeah.
No, it's out of 300. Yeah.
320.
I mean, 320. If I have Harbinger and they know I'm probably going to play Harbinger against them, they just drop Fatty against me if they have him and if they have Rasheth and Mordekaar. I just don't know if I'd like being boxed in like that.
Which is 17% of list pairs have purification.
Which is, I think, pretty substantial. I mean,
almost one fifth. Seems like a lot.
And then
I would have expected it to be more. Although I guess you need to look at the factions that actually have access to that.
I mean, you do have to know that's like five casters or something.
Yeah, but Harbinger, Veil, Morvana is like a third of the field.
Yeah, and you. Yeah, oh my god, that was one thing that I guess we could cover now.
44 of it is Harbinger Veilmorn.
And then how much of it is stupid Saren Veil pairing? Oh my god.
I think that's the most common pair at, like, 13?
I was definitely not happy to... I was, well, I'm not playing in this, but I was like, I'm kind of glad I'm not having to deal with this, because it would be a big pain in my ass. Like, that's just a, I think that's a bad matchup for Crix, no matter what you bring, but...
Well, so the thing is, so I think a lot of the Mordekaiser lists have been, from what I've been reading on the forums, that they're intended to go against Crix, is the, I think, the theory, which I can see, because they don't have any upkeep hate, and Essence Blast will probably do a pretty good job of clearing out some Banes, and the plus defense from Mordekaiser's feet is going to be really good against Crix, because they don't have that many mat fixers. And between Hollow and a Witchstalk Croc, you can usually turn off most of your infantry from being able to be excarnated. So that actually seems reasonably solid. I guess my issue comes from it may just be because I haven't thought about the format that much, but having one list specifically to go against one faction seems to be, I don't know, too limiting.
No,
I feel like you want...
It's actually really applicable here. Like, in the U.S., and it's different in Europe, and I'll dive into that in just a second, but in the U.S., it's win or go home. I mean, you're either winning the event, like all of us drop from the last round to watch the finals, and we don't really care where we place if we don't win it or are in the finals. And I think, especially in this format, you may bring Mordekaiser, realizing that you only have to play him against Crix, let's say, and Makeda 3 is your other matchup for everything, and never play him. You know, if your team ends up losing in round 3 or something, it doesn't matter when you play Mordekaiser. You know?
And it's not even that. It's like, if you think something's going to be that prevalent, because we discussed this back when we were joking about everyone preparing for Jake, if you know something's going to be at the top tables, and you know that you have to have a... If you plan on winning the event at all, you have to become prepared for it. I mean, I don't think that's a bad thing. And if that's what they're... If that's the logic behind this is, I think it's sound.
Yeah, plus I think Mordekaiser's pretty good against infantry, in general. I mean, I think his list... His feat is... I mean, it gives you a really powerful turn of attrition.
Sure, but infantry isn't really the way the meta is going right now.
But it is in Europe.
Yeah, we have to keep in mind, and I think that's why a lot of...
Presumably. I mean, like, I guess it's an educated guess, but it seems as if they have a lot more light infantry over there than we do, based on what the lists I'm seeing.
And a lot of the reaction on the forums, since I think like a lot of the forums are like just Americans playing, is that I cannot... Like, a lot of people are surprised or... stuff. It's, and it, part of it, I think, is because that meta is completely different than what we're generally used to. I mean, in a lot of American tournaments, the double Stormwall list is quite common. And I think one other European team brought that.
Yeah, I think there's two.
Two?
But still, like, if this was an American tournament like TempleCon, you'd see that everywhere. Like, I think I saw, like, every Signar player in the last round of the qualifier at TempleCon had that stupid double Stormwall list, and it was a huge pain.
Yeah, they've all gone... Over there, I think it's a lot more common to see Haley single Stormwall with...
Storm Lances.
Storm Lances and some other stuff from what I mean, that's a bunch of lists. It's like...
Yeah, there's a lot of Storm Lances out there.
And a Stormwall.
I'm interested to see how the Storm Lances do. Like, legitimately interested.
I'm interested to see what they're planning on doing with them, just because... I mean, I've dabbled with Storm Lances before in Mark II. Like, in Mark I, you took them because they were ridiculous.
Same,
but
in
this one, they're... I don't think, outside of a like weird tier list, I don't remember the last time I actually saw one in a big U.S. tourney.
Well, so if we're going to go on the theory that they play more infantry in Europe, then Storm Lances actually seem really good. Because with Decel and Arcane Shield, they're pretty much unshootable, and those things just mulch infantry like you wouldn't believe. They can kill, like... One Stormlance can kill, like, what?
A cold shot on the Electro Leaps, the melee attack, which Electro Leaps, and an impact.
The assault
yeah,
shot Electro Leaps?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, they...
So you can theoretically kill five infantry models with one Stormlance. That's pretty good.
I've never, ever seen them on the table. Like, that's how rare they are here. Like, I've never seen anybody play with them here.
I actually can't remember the last time I saw one assembled.
I played against them at the what's it called? Mayhem Cup. But, I mean, I don't know.
The last time I remember seeing them is 3 years ago when Matt Lee was playing E-Nemo at the first big hardcore that we had.
Well, as much as everyone cares how little we see Stormlances.
That's enough of that.
Well, so real quick, one other thing I want to talk about with Scorn is there are a lot of Acurii. They are the second most played infantry unit in Scorn, according to Matty Cade's stats, after Beast Handlers.
Yeah, I saw the Xerxes list. It has, like, four units of them.
That's normal.
Is that
That might be skewing the statistics then. It's a Xerxes tier 4 list that has like a min unit of Citrati, 3 min units of Curii, and like 3 min units of Incendiarii, or something like that.
I still want to play that.
Is that weird tier list?
Play that. Is that the one? Man, I want to play that Xerxes tier list that lets you take Venators and your Cataphract.
No, that's a bad choice.
I think that list is good, Will. I
still want to play it.
Also, another thing, there are a lot of Karaks out there. There are like 3 Karak units in the lists, which
they're not.
Get some.
I've never seen Karaks played ever.
Girded for everyone.
I mean, the thing is, it goes back, I think, partly to there are 4-6 with Reach and other special abilities, so they're probably not as bad as like we always are saying. But
so,
yeah, I agree that
so
I don't like them. Ugh.
One list that I saw them in that I kind of almost liked them in is an E-Hex list. Which, since they, I don't know, since they're so cheap, it almost seems like you just cast Ashen Veil on them and then spread them throughout your entire army, so that pretty much your entire army benefits from the Ashen Veil -2 to attack.
And they gird, which is
you know, decent. And with Black Spot, they're effectively -7, so they can deal decently with some infantry.
That doesn't sound terrible at all.
Yeah, I know. That's one thing I saw that I was different from what I'm used to, but I kind of liked.
Sure.
I actually kind of like that Xerxes list we just talked about a second ago, with just lots of min units of stuff that I would have to see on the table, but it seems like it might have potential.
To me it seems weird, because you're going to want to try and maximize Defender's Ward with a bunch of min units.
So I think the reason that, and I need to find my Scorn book to confirm this, but I think the reason that they have it set up like that is because there's a point cost reduction in the tier list or Citrati units.
It's like Runes of War.
And when you
by taking like 10 min units of Citrati or whatever, you get 10 points, which is, that's a lot of points.
Sure. Seems weird.
So that, and then, like we said, lots of Fatty, which I haven't been the biggest Fatty proponent, but I definitely see the benefits of his list. Trevor has been telling me how good he is against lots of things, and I'm starting to buy into it more than I used to. So, but I'll be playing all of these Scorn lists over the next couple of months while the other Asgard people get ready for the WTC. So
one
I'll probably have
less than
well,
one.
Whatever. I'll probably have some thoughts on some of the lists as time goes on, as I play them some.
Sweet. Who's next?
I'll go. Yeah, looking through, I saw a whole lot of Cassius, and that's a caster we don't see here a lot. And so I talked to Colin, and I have him running up some of the, looking through the Cassius list, seeing which one kind of speaks to him, and sort of guiding him a little bit on which teams Cassius, like which version of Cassius we'd want to see him play. So I look forward to sort of figuring that out, figuring out how he made so many competitive lists. And I think he's so prevalent over there that I think he must be answering something specifically, and I'm just not 100% sure what it is.
Yeah, he's in like maybe 4 or 5 pairings.
Five Cassius lists.
Yeah.
And he's paired with a lot of different things. So
there's a lot of Slaughterhousers in his lists.
Yeah, they kill them to get tokens for the tree.
No, they would take Bloodbenders for that. They're using the Slaughterhousers RFP, I think. A lot of people take Bone Grinders with Cassius as an anti-Crix thing.
So then I guess he's using Hellmouth and Slaughterhousers to... So that's it. They're dealing with Crix with it.
Yeah, which I don't know why you would just play Chromac, but apparently no one else shares my opinion on this.
Chromac's horrible against Crix, Will.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people have answered like that Cassius is the...
Is that
solution.
It? Did you guys just solve it for me? Should I not even be worried about it?
Yeah, I mean, well, that's a circle thing. Cassius answers Crix. I mean, the Forest is applicable. It blocks line of sight, even though they have Ghost and stuff. They can't charge you. And Hellmouth is awesome. You can cast Super Turn, which is awesome. And Slaughterhouser's RFP, so you can just remove Gatsby's entire army from the table, supposedly.
Yeah, but the thing is, whenever we've done this, because we've talked through this a lot, and we have played I mean, back when Cassius first came out, Will, I know you were playing him, maybe not a ton, but you were trying to make him work, and we found that, like, we just didn't really think he stacked up that well, even against Crix, because in theory, like, it works fine, but it's like, if that tree has to hang so far back after he pops his feet...
Yeah, like, two Banes will kill him.
Yeah, it's like...
the tree's defense 5.
Yeah, and especially against Epic Lich, who, I mean, now you can't bring back Tartarus or stuff like that, but you can still get to wacky places, and you're like, I need to put two Banes on it, feet, all right, here we go.
And two Banes plus one per transfer, but sure, you get 10. And I guess theoretically you could, camp 11, but...
Yeah, but if you're doing that, you're losing. I mean...
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. And there seems to be a couple camps of Cassius here, because there are some that are not running the slaughterhouses. But, I don't know. To me, Cassius was always, this puzzle that had to be figured out, and then once you got to the center of the Rubik's Cube, it just didn't really seem worth it. You could achieve the same things so much easier with other stuff.
Yeah. Like what? What does the same thing?
Well, I mean, Cro-Mac answers crits very well. Very, very well. You can deal with all the infantry hordes in the world with Cro-Mac.
Yeah, I maintain
and
that.
He's also very applicable against Legion and Signar and Trolls and all this other stuff. Not to say that Cassius isn't, just... I feel like Cro-Mac answers crits fine and doesn't really need... it answers other things better than Cassius does. And I know a lot of people like Cassius with the Bold Wrath, with the armor debuff, which I don't actually even know if there's a list like that. I'm just talking about Cassius at the moment. But he seems to have mostly Feral Gorax, and then Getter's or a Stalker. Or Double Stalker. yeah, and then people run Druids with him, which is great, and Ravagers with him, which is funny. I don't know. I'm not sold. But, yeah. You know me in Circle, I'm very opinionated, and yeah.
Mike, what surprised you?
I think that was the nicest I've ever heard Will be about Circle lists that he disagrees with.
Will, what do you think about Druids?
Everybody knows I hate Druids, Mike.
Yeah.
There's nothing new about
it. I happen to agree with you, but I think it's because I play Errants.
Yeah, I think so. Maybe it's because I play against Errants so often.
Or actually, I love them. Maybe it's a different way. But if I played Circle, I wouldn't play Druids.
I don't know, there's just so much Hunter nowadays, the Druids aren't good anymore. They just die.
So, Mike, what surprised you?
Which Mike?
Per year?
What surprised me? Well, there wasn't enough Protectorate.
You sound
what do you mean? It was 17% of the field.
No, they were 4th or 5th or something. It was depressing because I like to see my faction everywhere.
I think Harbinger is the third most playcaster.
Yeah, that's true. Harbinger is everywhere. Nobody really copies, or nobody really has the exact same list as me.
Oh, so you're insulted that they didn't copy your stuff.
There's a couple, but...
Are me and Jake the only people that got lists directly copied?
No.
Well, you, sure.
And they're not copied. I don't know. Copied is... I don't know.
Also, to be fair,
it's so hard to pin down the originator of any given list. I mean, two people could very easily come up with it at the same time.
Especially the tier list with Vale, Epic Vale. That's
sure. Well, I know there's a guy playing Jake's tier list from Gen Con 3 years ago. The Saren list, exactly.
There's a lot of things. Yeah, Jake's exact with the Rake and there's three or four of those.
Yeah. I want to know what's going on in Legion. There are a total of 14, 17 lists in Legion that are not Saren or Vale 2. There are 17 Vale 2s.
Yeah, she's everywhere. I mean, and there's a lot of double Legions, too. Yeah. Or not a lot, but I think there's two or three.
It's very weird.
The double Rhett, I think, are there two double Rhetts, or is it just Whales?
I think there's just one double rat.
I think it's just Whales. I played Mike Davies at Lock and Load 2 years ago, and so his name stuck out at me on the Welsh team.
Yeah, Mike Davies beat me at Lock and Load 2 years ago.
He beat you, and then he beat me. And then I was like, oh, that was sad.
Honestly, the European guys that come over here have a pretty good... I mean, Frederico,
Jamie P,
Mike Davies...
Yeah, none of them are slouches. They're all really solid, for sure.
I don't remember who he was, but at TempleCon in the team tournament, I played a amazing game against somebody from England playing Morgul. He just, you know, can't Five Fury, cast Safeguard on Morgul, and ran at me every turn. It was terrifying. Oh, I barely squeaked it out on scenario, but it was a damn close game.
I'm so happy I had Purification.
Nick, you're such a braggart. You're like, I played an amazing game against...
I feel like Nick brought that up just to brag about it.
It was a really good game. I'm sorry.
Who won?
I did.
Nick, you're like the most underrated. You're like the most underrated War Machine player in the world.
All right.
That's probably not true at all.
Calm down over there.
You're so good.
There are two Minions players, and both of them are playing Rask Maelok.
That's yeah. The right choice. I'm surprised that no one combined it with Pigs, but I don't know.
I think doesn't one of them have three units of Gators in with Rask?
I thought another the common Maelok list. I'll check the Rask on it.
Yeah, I think it might be the exact same list on one of those with Maelok and Rask.
You know, I kind of wonder what the most commonly played unit in all of the WTC is, but I feel confident saying right now that it's probably Gatorman Posse.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Swamp Gobbers.
I will say Gatorman Posse all day.
I bet there's more Ravagors than anything else in the whole WCT list. I haven't looked, but I'll bet. Because there's three Ravagors in lots of those little two.
There's 1.58 Angeli per Legion list.
That's just why the hell not.
Are you going to beat that one?
I saw there. Yeah, there's a lot of Veil lists that have three angels.
I would be willing to bet that Gatorman Posse is the most commonly played unit in the WTC.
Because it's the best unit in the game?
Well, and like every faction can take it too.
Yeah.
I can actually look that up really easily.
There's really not that posses. Much. Though,
18 Gatorman Posses. And 34 Swamp Gobbers.
Really?
Suck it, Nick.
Okay, well, you should have put money on it before you looked that up.
I should have.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't really surprise me. They're just...
How many units of Bane Knights are there?
Well, there's 121 units of Bane.
Good lord.
Yeah.
Or 36 as well.
Yeah, I think Bane Knights are going to win.
Yeah.
Man, 36 one thing Bane Knights. One thing I like that I saw in a lot of the European lists is the something like a min unit of Bane Thralls plus UA and then like two units of Bane Knights and Krixlith.
I thought that was really interesting, actually.
I'm not a fan of the minimum unit. I mean, I'm sure there's a reason they did it. They might have, like, I haven't ever done, like, the price per model. I mean, the price per model with it. So that could be it, but...
Well, I'm going to tell you what it is. It's all the Gaspy lists, and you only need to bring back one Bane Thrall.
That's true.
So why take the unit of 10?
Because along the way, they do a lot of good work.
I mean, I agree. I'm just telling you their logic. And honestly, I haven't really thought about it enough to determine which one's better. But it's certainly a viable plan.
I also noticed more Jacks in the Krixlis over there.
Yes, for
that
sure.
That definitely weirds me out. And makes me really, really happy.
And it's,
to be honest,
it's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. I mean, I actually like the Mort Nebra list that I saw on there, but there's multiple, like, there's a lot of E-Denny, so with multiple Jacks, you know, Death Jack and Nightmare, or, yeah, also an Arc Node, so it just seems like they play a lot more Jacks. There's a lot of Krakens also.
Yeah, there are six Krakens, which blew my mind, six of them. That's good lord.
So there's only one Erebus. It's in a Terminus list.
Yeah, that's an interesting Terminus list that I would be way more afraid of if it had a Blood Hag.
Yeah. I don't understand the list. I'm going to say it straight up. I know Billy was talking about not saying things like that, but that is a list I do not understand.
Everyone be nice. Maybe your lists are not understood.
I'm not saying it's bad. I'm saying I understand it.
As long as we have a platform to explain our list, Billy...
There are probably lots of people who don't understand Will's Chromac list.
I'm sure.
No, I think it's more likely they don't understand his Morvana list with the...
Which is everything bad in Circle put together.
Exactly. So I'm pretty sure Will looks like an idiot to a lot of people.
And that's fine.
I'm really sad that somebody copied your list, Will.
I think two people did.
Well, I don't know. I think Craig and you worked on it together, so I won't say
Craig. Craig and...
But is there another one besides... Isn't there a guy on... Is it Belgium?
Two Morvana 2 lists that are... carbon copies of me and Greg's.
The Woldreth?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just annoying.
There's one on Belgium 1.
Yep.
And another one on... Oh, God, where'd it go? Here's this guy. The other one is Ireland.
Yeah, I kind of like the Irish team lists, actually.
I just like the Irish team, because every time on the forums when they're like, yeah, we're going to fuck up America, and we're going to get really drunk. Like, yes, those guys.
Okay, they are hilarious.
But does it get old when they keep doing the anonymous WTC thing on the Muse boards?
No.
Will doesn't read the Muse boards.
True. They have degenerated terribly.
Have they really?
They really have.
It's kind of a
circle jerk these days.
Mike, you don't think so, because people there like you.
But it's like a politically irrelevant. Correct circle jerk. It's like a hilarious,
it's not like
Focus and
Fury.
No, but it's working on it.
Yeah. No,
I will say that I'm looking forward to drinking with the Irish guys.
Yes, me too. I'm just looking forward to getting over there and hanging out with all of these guys.
So, speaking of which, shout out to the European global community. Really, we put up this fundraiser just to sort of take some of the pressure off. Just the high cost of getting over there. And out of the 86 backers that we have, a very high percentage of them are from Europe. And if any of those guys listen, very much appreciated.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
It's pretty amazing. And I'm actually coming up short on words as to like how it, like, it's surprising and is awesome. So we are definitely going to be drinking over there. And I think the global community is a good thing, and I think that's probably why it happened. It's because all of us understand that having a global community really is great for this game.
And we have super cool widgets.
That too.
My career wants to give everyone in Europe his widget.
I do want to give a quick shout out to, because there was a guy that I looked and I saw this donation, and I'm not going to specify what the amount is, but it was a lot of money for you know. And so I saw the email. And I emailed him and I said, hey, you know, I appreciate the larger donation. Thanks so much. You know, what swag did you want? Did you need, you know, T-shirts or widgets or whatever? And he replied back. He said, no, I just wanted to send some money. So I wanted to give a shout out to Adrian, I want to say Finol. It's F-I-N-O-L. I don't want to mispronounce his name.
Finol.
Yeah, right. That guy.
Awesome. Awesome. Also known as Adrian. Awesome.
Appreciate the donation and just wanted to give him a shout out.
All right, sweet. Thank you, Adrian.
Since we're on the fundraiser topic, if you'd like to donate, there's some very cool swag. You can get a Master Link board, some Mechanica Studios. You can get fully painted models from raffle tickets. Thank you to Discount Games, IC Lead People, War Machine Weekend, Mechanica Studios for being our sponsors, and Muse on Minis and Nigel Brooks for designing our amazing logo.
Yes.
And that was a word from our sponsors.
Yes. Thank you, Carl, for the tickets and for getting rid of specialists from the Invitational.
Yes. Now we just have to petition to get it to be three lists.
No.
Yes.
No.
Will, do you really want to have to come up with a third list besides Cro-Mac and Morvana?
We have one.
Do you want to carry that many extra models?
It's really not very many. They're all used in all the other lists.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll put Megalith on a board. That's it.
I would probably bring Thyra. Right. That would be interesting.
That would be terrible.
No, you wouldn't, Pryor. You like winning.
No, I think I might bring Thyra.
I think you think that, and then it's... No, you wouldn't. Although I did see a Thyra at... on one of, I can't remember who's brought it, but... I know someone...
Yeah, I think it's one of the Austrian guys. He actually has been posting on the... in the Protectorate forums about why he brought Thyra, and that...
How good Silence of Death is?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think... You know, it's what we were talking about before, is, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, but if I'm remembering this right, then his team was worried about trolls, for example, and maybe trolls and something else on the Horde side. And so to shore up his ability to deal with them, he brought Thyra. And then I think he's just going to drop Harbinger the rest of the time.
Sure.
Seems like not a bad plan.
Yeah. I do think a lot of the... Like, one of the mistakes the American teams may be making is trying to take too many come-or-take-all lists. Like, I noticed a lot of us picked very open lists that can play against a huge amount of things, which may turn out to be a poor choice.
I love my two lists.
And I mean, I do too.
I love that there are only a couple casters that I even... I don't know. I'm really satisfied with my two lists, and I feel really comfortable playing just about anything with them.
And I am as well, which is... Yeah. which is a good thing, I think. And it, I think it's going to make our drafts very easy for our team captains because a lot of
stick
all out.
I feel like the European teams are trying to play the draft system a lot more, whereas the Americans are almost trying to disregard that and say, well, whatever the draft ends up being, we're still going to play, you know, we're still going to have game.
Yeah,
well, that being
I don't
said,
remember who said it, but one of the European guys posted on the forums that this was the first time that Americans were ever going to play in a format like this. And that's very true. Very, very true.
We're doing a lot of work to get ready, though.
Yeah, we're constantly putting in thought processes and ideas. And we, I don't know about the team that Mike and Billy are on, but we're actually meeting on Skype in about an hour to discuss stuff. And who knows how long that'll be.
Yeah, I've already rated every player and my percent chance of beating every caster that they have. So,
seems good.
It's an accurate percentage. It's basically down to 57. There's only one decimal place, though, so I wouldn't say it's extremely scientific.
I'm just saying, well, you're
of
not...
significant digits, Mike is only two.
We're right. Also including randomly generated terrain and scenario and the likelihood of each one, and it's pretty...
That's basically
that's
math.
Really, that's really being a dick, but...
It's pretty formulaic.
I think the trolling is getting pretty serious here.
it upset me that on the forums they were like, it'll be Germany and Sweden and somebody else, and like we weren't even in the conversation. And
we're supposed to get upset.
To me, what upset me was somebody's like, Germany's going to repeat it. Like, how can you repeat a first time event?
I think they were referencing the last team event.
Sure,
the last ET.
I mean, another post said that America is pretty much the unknown on the year. Is the You know, everybody, most of the other guys over there, if they haven't played together, they have a general idea of the meta. And I'm sure there are some outliers, but America is really, I mean, we've never played with any of them outside of the single, you know, one-offs or like the English team that came over with Jamie to TempleCon that year. We just don't know any of them, like play styles. And I posted a question on the news forums for Epic Flail to talk about, basically just differences, since we're all on video. Differences that they've noticed between play styles or like rules determinations or model placement or I mean any kind of little specific things they notice that are wildly different, and they still haven't talked about it. I'm a little upset because I pimped their podcast pretty hard.
Yeah, a bunch of cork soaking going on.
I think nobody wants to talk about anything on their side because apparently the English are extremely like they were really conservative about their list getting out, and they don't want anybody to talk about who they might play about what. So, I mean, I think we're a little bit like that, but they seem way more like that.
Well, I mean, and our lists are kind of all over the internet and all over the video web pages and everything. So if they want to scout us, it's there.
I blame Maddie K.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, I feel like we definitely go in with the biggest handicap.
Yeah, but a lot of lists are different. I mean, Keith's lists are different. There's not too much. I mean, there's some video of Danny playing Kalissa, but there's not too much of him playing Ossian. Or none playing Ron, really.
Good.
Obviously, there's a lot of Jake, but, I mean, I don't know. That's our obligation. It's out there, and it's good for the community that it's out there. We just have to outplay the scouting, I guess.
Yeah.
If it's even out there. I mean, maybe... I mean, who's to say anybody is... I'm assuming they are, because that's what I would do, but...
I hear people talk about it on podcasts.
Really? Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I've been playing the same Chromac list for, like, 3 years.
You really have. I remember like when you initially started testing that and just how your win percentage just like increased and increased and increased and increased as you tuned the list.
Oh, yeah. Something else. Okay. So let me ask you guys this, and I'll do it live because why not? So Will and Mike Purrier, here in the States, if the three of us are going to a convention, if the moment one of us loses a game, doesn't qualify for Masters or loses the game in Masters, like the tournament, that event's just kind of over. Right, at least mentally. Like you may play another game just to get a good competitive game in, but you're no longer trying to win or place well or right.
Correct.
The feeling is the same.
Okay, sorry.
I can't say that.
Yeah, Mike, that question was not directed at two of us.
Yeah, clearly.
Yes, Billy, that is correct. Once I lose one game, I'm basically done.
And the reason I directed to both of you guys is because I feel that, like that's how I feel. So when we go over there, do you think it's going to be the same? I mean, obviously, we're playing all five games and we're playing to win, but do you think the fact that, or are we?
Well, to me, it's going to be very different. Yeah, to me, that's an entirely different thing. Like, we flew all the way halfway across the world to go do this.
To play five games, right?
Yeah, I will play my five games, and I'll try to win all five.
I think it'll be the same, but I don't think it will matter, because I think you guys are going to the finals.
Well, something I've noticed about your, like, they take a lot into consideration, like, who had best Mercs, and who had best Signar, and who had, and, like, that's just not even on our radar as something that's relevant.
They don't
to
even
anyone.
Hand that out at tournaments here.
It's like, in fact, like, third place, I couldn't tell you what I've placed in any event. Like, I just don't know. I just don't care.
I think you play for third and fourth. If I was at TempleCon and I would have lost to Mark at Signar, I would have definitely tried to get third instead of fourth.
To me, it's irrelevant.
To me too. I just don't care. Like, I'm going to win the event, and if I'm not, then I just played War Machine for the weekend. Like,
which is great. I mean,
clearly
I'm wrong.
Better than you guys.
Clearly.
Yeah, or to win a team event. Actually, when we do little teams of three or partner events, like, then it's fun.
Well, then you can theoretically lose and still make it through to the next round, too.
Sure. What is going on with all the Storm Lances? Sorry, I'm back on.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know what's happening.
I really think it's like to deal with infantry, although I think there are Signar's better ways of doing it, but...
Well, I mean, obviously something's going on because they're everywhere. So, we will figure it out. We must brainstorm.
We'll get some. You can get some practice games in against it, and then see if.
All right. Sorry about that.
Will, did you see the game where Craig killed me with Chromac? Fiora game where he double ported.
Yes. Yeah. Rookie that's mistake, the, that's, Mike.
That's the only game that my Fiora list is out there. That's really sad.
Good job. Mike.
Good. Great. So they get to see you run at him and then die.
You'll lull them into a false sense of security, Mike. That's like the most brilliant move ever.
I only needed sixes to hit him on the free strikes, and he went in between a Templar and a Reckoner and didn't take one on either.
That's the thing that surprised me. Like, Craig is probably the most, I'd say the least conservative of the WTC America team. He seems to go for a lot more risky things than anyone else.
Good thing that
he's almost all about assassination.
It's working. How did that happen? How did I finally shed that title?
What was it when you lost to Rashev horribly at the Mayhem Cup?
No, that had because nothing to do with dumb assassination.
That had nothing to do with anything.
That had to do with him not walking into his zone.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I went to pee and kind of lost track of the conversation.
Literally, all I had to do was walk gun mages into the zone and win.
Anyway,
Nick, to be fair, at least the guy wasn't trying to give him the game, and he still fucked it up.
You know, I feel like Kane versus Rasheth is still a better matchup than P. Makeda versus Harby.
How many turns did I have Harbinger with no focus?
But according to Mike Perrier, Harbinger's not that great and is like number 8 in the casters. In the game.
Oh, God.
That's not true. I put her at 3rd.
That's right. According to the Scorn forums,
like
Minoth
is
no problem.
Like, that's exactly where she is. Do you disagree?
No. Just when you hear Mike talk about it, he always makes it sound way worse.
Yeah, he makes it sound like she's a terrible garbage caster. Like
The goat is the best caster.
No, Mike, you just say that because you're upset because now you actually have to play against Circle and now instead of just crapping on a little
bit. No, she's the best. Admit it, Will.
She's
the best
caster.
Well, I think it's difficult to pick a single best now that Gatsby has been nerfed. I don't know if Gatsby,
her than Gatsby then
is degenerate. She's not nearly as bad as the original Gatsby.
I feel like her, Gatsby, and Harvey are currently all roughly at the same level.
I think you can put
Haley slightly behind them.
I think you could take all four of those and put them in a hat and pick one and make it the best.
Correct. That's what I'm saying. Like, you could probably even add in one more caster to that. And
I don't even think Haley's the best caster in Signar.
Yeah, Kane's
Epic Kane. A lot of people.
I just feel like Morvana giving rerolls in control is crazy.
I mean, the problem with Morvana is she fundamentally alters the math that the entire game is balanced upon.
She breaks a fundamental rule of the game, which is the same. Yeah, like whenever that happens, it's
the same thing Harbinger does, and the same thing Gatsby does, and the same thing Haley does.
Gatsby doesn't break any fundamental rules of the game.
Sure, he does. He says you can have 10 models for free that are immune to everything.
Harbinger doesn't either. It just goes on her instead of the models.
When you kill models in Harbinger, it doesn't do anything. Fundamentally changing to me.
Harvey also alters the fundamental rule of the game.
Which is when models die, they die.
Exactly.
the damage is going somewhere.
That is
doesn't
irrelevant.
Matter. That's irrelevant. The damage, Morvana gets damage to change the
yeah,
match.
Yeah, but she
that's...
has two healing mechanics.
And you have 10
that's
focus.
That's okay. Harpy has 10 focus. Yeah, exactly.
No, it's not okay. I mean, it's definitely worse on the goat. That's why she's the best. I'm just saying. It's.
Thank
like...
you, Billy. God, I hit her.
Sorry, Mike. Don't go on tilt at WTC.
Can we make yeah. this a rant? Can we make this a rant about Morvana and how patently unfair she is and how broken she is?
Now, Will,
Mike,
funny Will now that you've this. Had a chance to peruse the teams, which do you think outside of the U.S., because obviously
you
are the best.
Real quick, per year. The phrase is utterly degenerate and bad for the game.
Yes.
You really had to interject that into
yes,
the quality substance that I was about to throw down?
Billy, this is my podcast. I do what I want.
Wait, isn't that a phrase that you stole from the Muse people? Or is that...
No, that's mine. I started that.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, then I'll let you have it.
Bitch.
All right.
And
Mike,
Billy, I don't know.
We're switching to Mike. Mike, what do you think is the best team outside of the U.S.?
What I have no idea what the best team is. I will say that
the list-wise. I'm sorry. List-wise, let me go on specific. Best list.
I told outside. You as soon as it came out and I looked over everything, I think I brought up Belgium 1 as having, like, to me, the most intimidating lists.
And I agreed. So props to anyone from Belgium who actually listens to this thing. But yeah, I feel like.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Nope.
No, you're up. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say also I thought that England and also Switzerland had good lists. So, my two cents as far as list construction.
Beef Hunters, they're in here. Oh, dude, that guy's playing Morvana 1-2. He gets my vote. What team is this?
Yeah, there
Denmark,
is a guy with...
Denmark 2.
There's a guy with Morvana 1-2.
Denmark White?
Denmark 2.
Denmark Red? Oh, yeah. Denmark Red.
He's playing Harvest of Blood Tier 4, Morvana 1, with 3 full units of Blood Trackers, Nuala, and 3 World Weirds.
What are the tier advantages of...
I don't even know. When I said you can't take heavy beasts, I immediately...
I think the Blood Trackers are stealth for the first turn.
They're stealth every turn.
I know, Will.
I mean, I can look it up if we care. My iPad somewhere else.
Anybody else want to throw out some lists they were impressed by, or
no? I think it's. I mean, I really feel like it's Belgium 1. The they have, first of all, the lists are just really, really solid, and they all do something that at least I can identify as being very specific. The Morvana 2 list is. I mean, it's the same list that Will is running and that Craig is running, and it's scary. I mean, to me, having played against it a lot, playing against Will and Craig. You know, it does a lot. It presents a lot of unique threats that
so
if you don't
different.
Answer. It's very punishing and it's very forgiving at the same time. It's punishing to your opponent and forgiving for you.
It's so different from what Circle normally does is why I like it. That when you pair it with something like Kruger or Chromac or even like Balder, that you can get something so different out of that list.
Right. The Kruger 2 list is, I mean, you know, Kruger's generally good against Signar. So I think it's a good pairing. Especially with the rest of their list being, I mean, pretty useful against Grix. I mean, I think they're pretty covered. Ossian and Raven, obviously, you know, Mike and I have personal thoughts on Ossian and Raven as a pairing, but it does a lot during the list selection process also to be able to control kind of what your opponent can put up and what they can't.
I like it.
Gatsby 2 and Scar 1, and I honestly think out of all the Scar lists that I've seen, I actually like this one the best, the Scar 1 list. It's max Blood Witches with a Hag, max Raiders with a Witch, max Blood Gorgers, 2 max Mechanithralls, 2 Stitch, 2 Necrosurgeons, Gerlach, a Raider Captain, Saxon Orc, and Scrap Thralls, and her battle group.
Isn't that a lot like your old list, Mike?
I mean,
No, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of a different list. You had Necrosurgeons and Mechanithralls.
Yeah.
I don't understand why a lot of people put Necrosurgeons without Mechanithralls in Scar lists. I mean, I know why they do it. I just don't agree with it.
I mean, it's kind of a fail. I mean, it depends on if it's Epic Scar or Prime Scar. I mean, I can see more of a reason for Epic Scar because she can cut herself to upkeep spells, maybe.
Sure.
But for Prime Scar, it's obvious because, like, they always involves hurting herself or her feet. And one of the biggest failings is everyone's like, Epic Prime Scar's feet is so powerful. And it's like, yeah, but you have an 11, effectively 11 health caster, which... one strong hit on accident, like, definitely can kill her. So,
sure.
I mean, I can understand it. I also don't necessarily think it's that... I mean, it's only 2 points, but I would probably spend the 2 points somewhere else, or at least put in Mechanithralls or do something to make it, like,
well,
more worth the points.
What I like most about this list, well, the two Helldivers are obviously scary and threatening and present their own threat vectors and kind of control where your opponent's caster can be or what has to be around them. But it because of the massive amounts of infantry and recursion in the list, it doesn't ever have to feat defensively. So you're guaranteed to be able to use your feat offensively, and no matter what turn you use it, it's going to be effective. I mean, maybe varying levels of effectiveness, but no matter what, you're going to get some mileage out of it, which allows you to wait until you get a 5 or a 6 on your sack strike or whatever it is. So that way you're really, really camped when you feat. I think it's a really safe way to play. You can scrap a Helldiver and use it for cover if you need to. Anyway, enough of me going on that
list. I feel like with Scar, you really can't wait for a good roll in the
but with
the ritual sacrifice.
With this list, you can, because there's just so much infantry and so much recursion that no matter when you feat, it's going to do a whole lot of damage. And you're doing damage the whole way. You're controlling terrain, or you're controlling the board, the territory, just by how fast the witches are and the raiders. You're following it up with tough no knockdown. I mean, there's tons of no knockdown stuff in there. It's, I don't know, I like it. The whole team, Belgium 1 just has really good lists. Lil 2 and Vale 2 kind of do the same thing, but it's really scary in that both of them have crazy threat. You know, it's kind of, both of them are lists that just grab you by the throat and don't let go, win or lose.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, so.
Okay. Anything else about WTC lists?
Was there any list that you saw that you were just slightly confused by? Because there's a few that I saw that I really, like Protectorate list, there's an Amon list that has every jack that's in the Protectorate.
I saw that.
And I did not understand what the goal of that list is.
There was one that kind of blew my mind. Hold on, let me find it.
I wonder if there's any of these teams that are, I mean, I'm sure there are, not taking it as seriously as us, but if there's anyone that's just totally using this as like, eh, whatever, we're going to an event, let's drink, get drunk and have fun.
There we go.
And just bring in wacky stuff, you know?
The list that blew my mind, let me find out which team it is Wales. Marty Jenkins is running 5 World Watchers with Ebalder.
Is it tier?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, well, then he could just be going for the most wanky scenario, like, grind fest ever.
I know, it's awesome. I did not expect it.
Yeah, it's the same. Actually, I wouldn't want to play against that.
The only heavy is Megalith. 5 World Watchers, a Fulcrum. 2 units of Sifting Stones, no UA. Drills.
Yeah, that's... I wouldn't want to play against that.
I did not see that coming. Yeah. And then he's got the...
He's got a Fulcrum in it.
Yeah. I'm sorry, it's not Marty, it's Martin. Martin Jenkins. Sorry, Martin. Yeah.
He probably goes, oh, it's Martin. I see what you're saying. It's not Marty. Could be.
There's an end. So unless Matty K screwed it up. But, yeah.
Yeah, Team Wales has the other double storm on list, too.
I think... I'm interested to see all the different Morvana lists. The Morvana lists. Like, his Morvana list is double feral. Weird. Just a very different circle than what I'm used to seeing.
You know, now that
I was sad to see... I was very sad to see no P. Makeda. I love P. Makeda.
She's so good.
I am so happy there's no P. Makeda.
What are you talking about? Well, you just drop Lady Goat and, like, make her cry.
Oh, I'm so happy that there's no P. Makeda.
There's 2 or 3 E. Makedas.
That's what I was... Makeda, I thought you would be more upset about, Billy, is the E. Makedas. I thought
I don't care.
There are, I think, 3 E. Makedas and 1 Makeda 3. I will say, it does make me feel good that all of you are happy that there's no P. Makeda, because that means that I put the fear of her in you somewhat.
I hate her.
So it's a fact.
It's a stone-cold fact.
Yeah, she, E. Makeda, I only hate E. Makeda when I'm in hardcore and I have to play Haley against her. Like, normally, it's not an issue.
Yeah, I would say that out of all the casters that I can think of, P. Makeda might be the best caster that's not represented at the WTC.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
Who else is blowing my mind? There are none of them.
I think, there's one person playing Kray, so shout out to that guy. I don't remember who it is. But he is taking Stormlances in it, and I don't understand that at all.
That's David Horowitz from Austria.
I'm impressed with the No Baldur 1.
Really?
That is so good.
There is no, I think there is.
No, there's no Baldur. It's all Baldur 2.
Yep. All Baldur 2.
Soulstone.
Soulstone?
Wait, what's Stone Soul? The Stone Soul.
Yeah. I like Soulstones. I like Yawa.
What did you think of that Karchev list, Will?
I haven't looked at it, but...
It's so bizarre. I'm just...
What team is it on?
We were, like, in the group meet today talking about it.
I'm trying to figure it out.
It's Karchev, Behemoth, Spriggan, Silas, Alexia, and Risen. Assault Commando is minimum with 3 flamethrowers.
Poland.
Battle Mechanics, Min, Iris, Iron Fang, Kovnik, Dirty Megan, and Mule. I have no idea what that is supposed to do.
Yeah, we were talking about that with John and the Chantak guys today. We were just like, I'm not sure. I mean, we were thinking that he might be, like, trying to fissure you to knock you down and shoot you to death, but...
Yeah, and you get the Spriggan for the targeting flares with the toe, and so you get to aim.
The Dirty Meg marshalling a mule just blew my mind on that one. Like, but, I don't know, maybe we'll be completely surprised by it. So,
did you see that he's got him paired with the
E-Butcher Doom Reaver
tier that has, like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 units of Doom Reavers?
Yeah, that's... Maybe the Karchev list is his pet list.
That's the way to run it.
Once.
That's how I'd run it. Clam Jack and full of Doom Reavers.
I like the Yuri in that list. I didn't even realize you could do that.
It's Yuri in the tier?
Yeah, that list is great. Fenris and Yuri are just kill conditions.
Yeah, you give Fenris 3 of those angry tokens, and you can show up in your caster's face.
Or Yuri as well. Like,
yeah.
Is his feat's enemy models, right? It's not just
cannot kill your own models.
Yeah, that'd be okay. Doom Reavers just start killing each other and going bananas.
Yeah. Okay. Same. So, yeah. Seems pretty good for me.
All right. Anything else about the WTC?
No, we're good to go. All
right. So questions? We don't have too many because we went on a long hiatus, so people probably thought we stopped existing. But we have a couple. Let's see. So Dave,
don't forget.
David Blinner. That's all we have.
Okay.
David Blinner asked from Twitter, and this is really the only one that we haven't covered already. There are a couple about the WTC. Will, are there any Circle Warlocks besides E. Kruger that can handle Harvey well?
Morvana 2 is actually better than Kruger.
Just because she breaks the game.
Sure.
I would say... Well,
you can also ask Mike.
I don't want to say anything. I'm like, I know something that I really don't like with Harbinger, but it's a bad. There's like multiple lists out there like that. But I feel like Kruger 2 with Blood Trackers is really bad for Harbinger. So I agree with you, Will, that your particular Morvana list is really bad for Harbinger. But I think that if Kruger 2 is built with Wolds, it's different than if it's built with Blood Trackers, because the Blood Trackers just fucking annihilate the Errants.
Correct. Yeah, I don't like the Wold build that Craig runs with Kruger 2.
What infantry do you put in your Kruger 2?
Me?
Yeah.
I had Blood Trackers and Wold Stalkers.
Okay. Well, then that's probably pretty good.
Yeah, I played like a super shooting heavy Kruger list. Between with the Wold Stalkers, Blood Trackers, and then I think I had Stalker, Glorax. I was also running this crazy double Fulcrum World Wrath list for a while. That was pretty awesome. Where the World Wrath was the only War Beast in it. Crazy!
Alright, so, that's really the only real question. We had a couple questions about the WTC that we kind of already talked about, as far as like what the biggest surprise is and things like that. Really Scene asks, who's a cute kitty? Who's a cute kitty?
Yeah,
no one cares.
And the only other question is about Mike's cat as well, so we're going to ignore it.
Sweet. My cat is legit.
No, it's not. It's an asshole.
Yeah, sometimes.
Mike's cat is pretty sweet. So Norbert asked us to give a shout-out to SmogCon. So we're going to go ahead and do that.
I'm going to know what that is. I don't know when that is.
Well, so SmogCon, so it's... he says that, you know, the three-day con experience, which is very common over in the U.S., isn't really a thing in Europe. So SmogCon is an attempt to try to bring that experience to Europe and kind of run an American-style convention over in Europe. I think this is the third or fourth year for SmogCon. It's going on February 21st through the 23rd, 2014. And anybody who is interested in going should go to smogcon.org to download the brochure and find all the latest details about it, because it's going to be sweet. I love American-style conventions, and Norbert's awesome.
True.
And it's, from everything I've heard, is an awesome event.
Yep. I would love to go, but it's like the same month of TempleCon, and it's just like, nope, can't do that. But...
And if you want to go read more about it, I think there's an article on the news right now about that.
Yeah, I think there is as well.
Okay, so I was looking at the standings for the European Masters that just happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like that guy Richard Nilsson got third with Minions. And he is one of the lists in the WTC that is Rask and Mela.
Yeah, there's only... Yeah, they're both playing Rask and Mela.
Interesting. So, I just thought that was it's pretty good to be able to get third with Minions.
Seems solid. Yeah. If you don't know what's going on with Minions, they can cause a lot of issues.
I think I probably need some work against them.
Yeah, we don't really have
it's also hard to get practice against them because nobody plays them around here.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. There's also another event that we should talk about. It's Gaming for Giving. The Dark Omen guys are putting it on. It's to benefit, I believe, multiple sclerosis this year. It is October 19th at the Lyceum in Terryville. You can find out more. It's $25 pre-entry, pre-registered PayPal. You can go and find the more information at gamingforgiving.com. And, so it's another good charity event.
What about Clash?
Oh, yeah. We can't forget Clash.
Less than a month.
It is,
also
it is,
known
it's
as month. Will's Wedding.
Yeah. It's I like the way I was like, I'll still go for a day, and then Will's like, rehearsal dinners that night. I'm like, oh, balls, never mind.
So Clash for the Cure is it's a event for cancer. They do a bunch of really amazing painters, paint models, donate them, and then they are auctioned off by raffle, and it's a great time. It's an event I've gone to every year since it started, right?
Didn't Meg Maples pay something for that?
She does every year. She's going to be there this year.
She's going to be there this year.
Oh. She's also auctioning off a private painting lesson that night, like a two-hour one-on-one painting lesson.
That
maybe
winner
an hour,
probably something.
I won't be there, and also I can't paint. So I would probably buy the thing that is created as a result of it, but I will not take the lesson itself.
So it's an awesome event, and it's going to be – they have a cool format, a thing that I wish would just become a deal. They have a single list specialist format. It's not exactly the way I'd want to run it. Craig told me about this thing in California they do where they have a single list 20-point specialist event, and that sounds like an amazing event.
Also, it is a War Machine Weekend alternate qualifier.
And I think it looks like it is going to make it to be a...
As the alternate. They've got 84. They'll have 84 people there.
Yeah, you're talking about Clash again.
Yeah, Rich and Jimmy have just put so much work into this event, so it's really great to see how much has grown, especially from a charity event. I think they're playing all chess clocks. They got, I think they got all their chess clocks donated from. There's a chess clocks that Privateer Press uses at their events, so it's really sweet.
I'm just gonna say this about Rich. I don't know Jimmy very well. I know he's awesome, but Rich and I have got to know each other pretty well, and he is just a world class guy.
Oh yeah, for sure.
They are awesome dudes.
Yeah.
And they put in a ton of work on this.
They do. It's so, wunderbar, yeah.
So yeah, definitely go and check that out. I think it's probably full, but...
Big thumbs up for Clash. I think there are two spots left, maybe. Last I checked, there were two spots left. It was a couple days ago. But it's...
By the time this airs, it might be...
It'll probably be full.
Hey, Mike, did you decide you were going, or if you were able to go or not?
I am currently registered, yes.
All right. That's cool. We are going to fly out 3 days later. I guess that's going to end on a Sunday, and we fly out on a Tuesday for Europe.
I leave on Monday.
Yeah, like right after your wedding, right, Will?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so traditional.
Is Liz coming with you for that?
Coming with me for what?
For the WTC.
Yeah, we're going to London for the week before, and then we're going to arrive in Belgium on Friday. Truck it out to that thing. I'm going to play there. She's going to do Belgium stuff, and we're staying in Belgium till Wednesday.
Oh, is she going to be Liz Campbell, Woman About Town again?
Yep.
Only it'll be in a super sweet place this time.
Or it'll be Liz Pagani, Woman About Town.
I just want to point out that the liquor store closes in 30 minutes.
Okay.
So Mike's got to go.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, apparently so.
In that case, I'll join you in the liquor store.
Mike, since we're doing this on Skype today, if you're not already drunk, you're doing it wrong.
That's true. You can tell Nick's getting drunk because he's blurry.
Really? I can't tell you how drunk I was for that interview that they did for Hand Cannon, that Omnis did. Oh, my goodness. I was so wasted for that.
I can't go listen to that now.
So I decided
you're breaking
stop.
The fourth wall, Mike. These are secrets that you can't share.
Oh, that's true.
I am just not.
Much like that three-way video.
What the fuck? God damn it.
We can edit.
All right. And on that note, this has been Road to War, episode 37.
All right.
Send us more questions at aroadtowar@gmail.com or on Twitter at Road to War. And we'll see you next time.
Hey, Nick, what are you working on?
What am I working on? All right. So before I went to Hawaii, I actually played 6 games. So fuck you.
I know that blows people's minds that Nick actually played this game again.
But what I'm working on now is running lots of Mordekaiser and Chain Gang for you fuckers that are going to the WTC.
Yeah, Chain Gang. That's what I'd like to see.
We love you, Nick.
Will apparently wants me to run like lots of the double cav list for him.
I want to try it. See what it does.
My theory is that I can bounce the Admonishers into the Agonizers and kill them. I don't know.
That's not your strategy.
It seems like a good strategy.
I don't know if you know about Mike Breger, but he plays Menoth, which means no strategy required.
Damn.
All right, so you do realize a boosted Admonisher should not kill an Agonizer.
Because they have 8 hit points for some reason.
Yeah, but when Mike Breger rolls 18, it doesn't matter, does it?
It's true. That's why we call him Sweet 16.
Yeah.
You need to roll a 14 on 3 dice, which is like about what, rolling a 9 or 10 on 2 dice?
Yeah, and how many times has Breger done that to you and killed you, Nick?
I don't know. Not as many times as Tark Mailer has.
Oh, you're just bitter about that.
That guy stole all of Breger's dice.
He diced the shit out of me in the tournament 2 weeks ago.
Okay, as interesting as this is, it's been a great episode. Signing off.
Billy, you just want to go play more Dota.
This is Billy.
Speaking of which, Billy, let's go play a game of Dota.
I have a podcast to get to.
No, you don't.
We have to do everybody else's what we're working on. Billy, you have half an hour before you have to be on Chain Attack.
All right, that's true.
Also, they have, yeah.
All right, let's go.
All right, so Billy, what are you working on?
WTC. That's pretty much it. Right now, I am examining each list individually, each pair of lists individually, and going through analysis on how I'd handle it.
All right, Will, what are you working on?
Same thing.
All right. Mike Breger, what are you working on?
Fiora.
You're supposed to say same thing.
Oh, well, same thing, but I feel good about Harbinger. I just need to get Fiora down.
All right. Winters, what are you working on?
Coven. And I've also decided that at War Machine Weekend, I'm going to try and play the stupid Iron Gauntlet. So I'm going to be playing Coven in Nemo 1. So I actually need to paint again.
Ooh, there's a sweet Witch Coven list in the WTC.
I did not see that. But no, the Coven's just a huge amount of fun. And I think Jeremy Lee is actually going to start playing them as well.
I think it's Coven and Mort Nebra.
Kind of love Mort Nebra. That's very risky, and I don't know if I could do that personally. But if you can play them well, that's a very terrifying combination.
Oh, playing it well. Winners is out.
Yeah, exactly. Shut the hell up.
I'm going to trample.
Oh my! I'm never going to live that down, ever. Like,
no,
good.
When there's like a clear path to a warjack, you never say, I'm going to trample.
I'd overthought it, I was tired, and my back was killing me. And
so is I'm going to trample better or worse than refuging out of the kill box twice?
Well, I would say that it didn't automatically lose me the game. I mean, it pretty much lost me the game. But
lost you the game. I was there.
Yeah, God, I was just...
All right, guys, this is terrible podcast material.
It is.
No, this is the best.
Great. People love
hitting Michael Winters in front of thousands of people is like my third favorite thing to do in life.
Yeah, people Shut love up. Stuff like this. Like,
seriously, Billy, humiliating Mike on the podcast is like, that's our wheelhouse. That's what we do.
Shout out to Watt for being part of that game.
Shout out to Watt for, beating the shit out of me with that. God, Krios 3. That is
I just remember that. Where you were like, trample? And Moth's like, trample?
Yeah, exactly. He okay. looked at me, like, Moth, like, because he's like, he, so he actually even gave me the chance kind of to say, oh no, I fucked it up and I'm retarded. But I was like, yeah, I mean trample. And then after that, he was like, well, I guess you dug your own grave so that I can go, like, sit in it. And I was like, and then as soon as,
so we are,
yeah.
We are currently in queue for a Dota game, so we're going to cut this off before the game fires.
Bye, everyone.
So, Road to War, episode 37, signing off.
All right, bye, guys.
Later.
All right, bye.
I will say that I could join y'all, but it would be just awful.
Would you like to join us, Mike?
I'm going to hang up because I've been doing this on my laptop, and I need to switch to my desktop. So give me, like, 1 minute.
You should join the call.
Again.
And Priya can go and get drunk on Skype.